Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. This is episode 126. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, as always, joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Megan, I saw you doing some posing. There's going to be no video version of this episode because StreamYard did not let us go live today. Facebook is down, Instagram is down, StreamYard is down. The whole world is really coming to an end. And, it's, you know, great way to start
you
a
know,
Monday.
Casual. So, you know, when the internet goes down, life itself is. That's why the dinosaurs died. It's everything. But really, I just have to do posing because if anyone listening knows about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, I feel like posing gives me power.
That's very valid.
That's just what I have to do to live my best
very
life.
Very valid.
Meanwhile, I'm doing the show shirtless this week. So
yeah, everyone's really missing out this week. We had a whole after hours episode planned.
Oh, hold on a second, guys. HR is beeping in. I gotta take this call. No,
oh no. All right. Well, I'm just going to leave the meeting.
I was going to say, oh no, they saw my Twitter.
Anyway, we have a bunch of fun Pokemon news for you today. If you're new to the show, welcome. Congratulations. You found a great Pokemon podcast. We hope you stay and listen to many, many more episodes. We're going to go through some news today, take a break, go through some deep dives, and then a Pokemon fact at the very end. Usually it's a pretty good time. Hijinks ensue, and there's usually a bunch of tangents. So buckle in, keep all hands and feet inside the tram at all times, and let's go with Pokemon Go. Because the Secrets of the Jungle event is live.
It is. Now, the important thing about this event, the actual event doesn't really matter that much. It's kind of a lame-o event, but the important thing about this event is be sure to log in and start your secret research or your special research before, I believe it's October 8th or October 9th. Give me a second. I can look up the exact times because that is how you get Zarud in Pokemon Go. And if you do not start it before then, you are out of luck. So
where's the opportunity?
At least. Yeah. And this is, of course, to celebrate the release of the Secret of the Jungles game. It's October 10th. You have until October 10th to get the special research moving. So you just have to start the special research. You don't have to complete it.
That's right. I like it when they do that. But sometimes the special research is very much timely tied to whatever Pokemon and stuff like that are available.
Oh, yeah.
If you do start it but don't finish it, like, it may take you a little while because you'll have to like find a Pokemon that they've taken out of rotation for a little bit. And
they did that for the Hoopa research that they just did. They had like this entire segment where it was like timed up with the Psychic Spectacular. Well, I didn't really do the Psychic Spectacular, so then it was like, oh yeah, go ahead and catch 30 psychic Pokemon. I'm like,
have fun with
thanks.
That.
Thanks, man. Thanks. The another one was, I forget what event it was, like what special research. It was one of the really early ones. Had one which was catch an Aerodactyl. It took me, legitimately, it took me like a year to get that done.
Love it. There is a new Pokemon statue for sale. It's massive. Christian, have you ordered it yet?
I have not, because my birthday is in a few days. And so I figure what I'm going to end up doing is CBS is going to give me that present. It's just going to show up on my invoice as a line item.
Oh, is that what's going to happen?
That's I'm just going to sneak it in there. You know, this is pure.
That request is the most optimistic thing Hoffer has ever said on this podcast.
So I was really kind of teeing it up, hoping for Christian to say what the statue is.
Oh,
it's Bulbasaur. It's a giant Bulbasaur statue.
It is an awesome looking Bulbasaur, too. It's like, it's huge. It's $600. As soon as I saw the ticket, I was like the ticket price. I'm like, okay, well, and on to the next thing, because this is something I cannot afford at all.
Where would you put it?
I don't know. So this will lead me into a segue. So I'm getting ready to move my office due to life circumstances. My office is moving down into the basement because we need this bedroom as a bedroom. And so literally last week, I get a text message from our nanny, and she's like, hey, you have a massive box outside. What is this massive box? I'm like, I don't know what this massive box is. So the massive box contains this massive dragon statue with, you know, this is the dragon goddess Tiamat from Dungeons and Dragons. You know, it's got a 26 inch wingspan. And I'm like, I don't know where to put this thing. This thing barely fits through doors. I'm not being sarcastic. It's 26 inches. Why?
You're just going to have to hang it from the ceiling.
It's not meant to be. There's no way to hang it.
You have small children. Well, if you got the heavy enough equipment, you could use that as a mobile over a.
Where's your sense of adventure? Yeah, a bunch of fishing wire, some duct tape.
That's how you end up with a broken Tiamat statue, Jim.
Not if you do it correctly.
Well, you know, so we're still trying to figure that one out. Like, you know, I keep joking. It's like going to be like my 15-foot, skeleton statue outside. You know, instead of that, I'm just going to have a giant five-headed dragon goddess who's angry and wants to eat you and all your friends.
Anyway, so if I don't know
where to put this, I don't know where the heck to put a Bulbasaur statue.
I mean, it is a pretty cool looking statue, though.
It is a really
cool. Yeah, like the Bulbasaur itself, like if you look this up, it's not Bulbasaur that's the big thing. Like the overall statue is huge. Yeah. There's like a full-size Pokeball like it's a included. Scene.
Yeah,
there's like a scene of Bulbasaur going through a forest. I believe it's a 1/6 scale. And this is the third of the Kanto starter statue that they've done for this. So they already have done a Charmander. They've already done Squirtle. Those two sold out very quickly because these are obviously limited run because they're so big and expensive. And they also did a special Pikachu. I think that was the first one they did.
Yeah,
so that sold out a long time ago. So Bulbasaur is the last one in this sequence. If you can afford it and want it, please send me pictures when you've unboxed it because it looks real cool. But yeah, be aware. It is $600 minimum. Like that's before you pay tax, shipping, insurance, anything. So
let's go. Let's go and pull up the Bulbasaur and put it on screen right now so we can all admire it for a second.
Hilarious.
So funny. In other Pokemon news, we've got new Poketoons dropping this week. So that'll be fun. Are they spooky, Megan? Are they spooky Poketoons?
So it's
does Japan not give a crap about our holidays?
It's called the Blizzard of Summer Vacation.
Oh, good. Yeah,
it's not spooky, literally. I mean, our spooky one was the Gengar episode where the little girl was turned into Gengar and it was all the monsters and stuff. I mean, Japan is kind of interested in Halloween. It's not like their Christmas, which even Christmas in Japan is not like a religious holiday. It's a couple's holiday. So it's like a winter Valentine for them, basically. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be kind of like a beachy summery episode with some ice Pokemon interacting with it. So we will be getting that later this week. Obviously all the coverage will be on comicbook.com discussing all the minutia and weird details we will inevitably get. New Poketoon episodes, and obviously Pokemon Evolutions still having episodes come out. So that will be on the docket before long.
Nice.
So and also this week to note, is when October 8th on Netflix is when the Pokemon Secrets of the Jungle movie comes out to stream. So if you've been waiting patiently, As of the time I'm speaking, yeah, after 2 years, as of the time I'm speaking these words, we have 4 days left before it's streaming. So
I think Zarude may have just gone from like being like everyone being super excited to now literally no one giving a crap about this.
Well, I was like thinking about it because of this. This is the first time in years that we haven't had an annual mythical Pokemon release. Like, yeah. Let me pull up the last time that we didn't have a new Pokemon. Now, mind you, we still have a couple of months, so it would not surprise me if we at least get like the announcement of a mythical Pokemon. Right. But so let's see here. So we had Zarude would have been 2020. We had Meltan, I guess it's been a couple of years. So Zarude was 2020. Mm-hmm. Melmetal and Meltan was 2018. Zeraora was also 2018. Marshadow was 2017. Magearna, if we know how to say that correctly, thanks to our fans, is 2016. And then Volcanion, actually, I don't know when Volcanion technically came out, but you know, those were Gen 6s. So, you know, I guess we did skip a year in 2019. We just kind of forgot about it because Sword and Shield had come out. But you know, I don't think this was a planned, a planned skip, you know, especially as I was like thinking about this the other night. It seems very likely that in a non-COVID world, we would have gotten, the Diamond and Pearl remakes like 3 months ago and, Legends would be, you know, coming out next month. Mm-hmm. Just based on how they are treating Diamond and Pearl, and kind of like the they're trying to like make a big deal of it because they're trying to do like simultaneous marketing cycles for both games. We'll talk more about it later, but you know, it just like kind of strikes me as like funny because they're like, look at all of this Pokemon Shining Diamond or Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl news, and then they're like, we don't really have any of that news, but we have to fill up 2 minutes of commercial time. And, you know, I just realized that's solely because they need to like hype up these remakes because it's going to be their big holiday release game when it shouldn't have been. But anyways, I was just randomly thinking of that for some reason. I don't even know how I got started. Oh, the mythical Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sylveon getting added to Pokemon Unite this week, and I admittedly have been playing way more on my phone than I thought I would.
I haven't downloaded it on the phone yet. How does it play on the phone?
It plays really well on the phone.
Phone? Do you have like the big iPhone?
I do have a big okay. phone.
I have the smaller iPhone, and it is it's still smooth, like the interface and UI, but like everything else, I'm like, I still prefer the Switch when I do play.
Yeah. Like so much so that I would bring my Switch to, I don't know, but I almost thought about getting one of those like Bluetooth controllers that you can put your, like clip your phone into that people play games with, to do that just because I enjoy playing it. Like just being able to pull my phone out and just be like, all right, I'm going to play it. I got 10-15 minutes to kill. I'm gonna go play a match.
I didn't even think about that. Maybe I'll go and download it. September was a horrifically busy month, but
yeah, especially like when I like, you know, Nora's got practice, and so I'm there for like 2 hours, and so I'll, you know, I've got the cellular connectivity, so I'll play a few games, and you know, so it's I enjoy it so much, very very much so, and so. I've seen a lot of people playing Mamoswine, and so I'm very curious to see what the pickup for Sylveon is going to be.
Yeah.
And then how it all, you know, levels out basically.
Well, the crazy thing about Mamoswine is at least the early consensus was it was a pretty lackluster Pokemon. Yep. What I'm really curious about is why we're getting back to back weeks of releases. I mean, we haven't seen that cycle of releases before. Like, why are they speeding up the release? Like, is there a logic behind it? Or, you know, are they just really trying to like keep people invested in the game? like the mobile players. I have a lot of like random questions about this. Like that like interests me more than like Sylveon's like metagame presence. Is it's more like, man, back-to-back releases. Why?
It's just especially when they can just spread it out. So like, you know, when the interest kind of ebbs and flows, it's like, oh, okay, here's a new Pokemon. Okay, I'm gonna go check it out. And then wait, you know, a couple weeks. I mean, look, if they added new Pokemon monthly, like I still think like that's probably the best cadence for it. But I mean, geez, in the last month, we've gotten Blastoise, Mamoswine, Sylveon. How many more Pokemon are they adding to this game?
Well, that is like the big question is.
Oh, but Blissey's coming next, right?
We already got Blissey.
Oh, we got Blissey, right? Mm-hmm. I totally forgot about that. Right, so we got Blissey too.
Yeah.
Well, part of me wonders how many of these Pokemon they maybe wanted to include in the original lineup, but they just needed to get the game out. So they were like, "Oh, we'll just do like a quick dilute."
But I feel like there was an okay amount at launch that even, like I said, if they just went monthly, it feels like it would have been at least sustained interest in game throughout year one. My biggest concern now is it's like we're going to get to Christmas and, you know, or like we're going to get Sylveon and then it's like that's it till the new year. And it's like, well,
okay. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think because we saw like a few more Pokemon in the data mine, but people just didn't know if they were going to be like playable Pokemon or
right.
If they were like adding a new map. So I think maybe, mm-hmm. who knows, maybe that's how things are going to go down. Yeah. And there's lots of room. I mean, the nice thing about this game is, you know, it's a pretty easy game. And I feel like they have a lot of room that they can do stuff with. In terms, and like we've seen that a little bit, like, you know, that's when this game first came out, the thing I was worried about was that the play styles for individual Pokemon were not going to be that different. Like we basically, here are your five roles and there's going to be some like minor stat changes, but, and a couple of like some of the moves are going to be different, but
like the Unite moves would be different. Like that's
yeah. But you know, they keep on adding like Mamoswine plays very differently than any Pokemon we've seen before. Blissey plays it very differently. You know, Sylveon looks to be kind of like a Gardevoir with like a little bit of a healing side to her.
Yep.
So, you know, there's some stuff, but like there's still a lot of room to grow. So I'm curious to see if they're going to announce like, okay, here's our next
wave.
Set of Pokemon coming out. So we'll see about that.
Yeah, I hope so. Like I said, I anticipated it going to mobile would kind of keep me interested. And so far it definitely has. I do like playing on, you know, a TV but I have found the mobile controls to be incredibly intuitive. So,
yeah, we do have one bit of extra news
that trading card game news.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they just announced a new set in Japan. Mm-hmm. It has a very clean and appropriate name called VMAX Climax. And
at this point, they're doing it on purpose.
They are truly doing it on purpose. There's definitely a guy
who give them the benefit of the doubt at first. Okay, maybe a weird translation thing, but nope. They are doing it on purpose.
Somebody at Creatures Inc. is just like having an absolute blast with this, and he's just like, maybe they listen to it. Maybe they're just like, you know, like we're going to get that Pokemon After Dark episode. We're going to get it because Christian's not going to be able to contain himself. You know, he's just going to like, you know, explode with a bunch of inappropriate jokes. Mm-hmm. But that will not be the case. I will do no such thing. VMAX Climax is a thing that's come out. It's going to feature the return of character rare cards, which are you know, we haven't seen those in a couple of years. So we have they have a secret rare VMAX card where it's red standing in front of a massive chonky Pikachu.
Perfect.
It looks very impressive. You know, Pikachu is like, you know, standing there looking all big and
Yeah. Have you guys seen any of the, is it Celebrations? Is that what the anniversary set is called?
Yes.
You see, I've seen some people like get their hands on it, and
they're not supposed to have gotten their hands on it. It's
that's fair.
It's because
I think it's embargoed for this week, right?
I think it either comes out this week or next week.
Next week.
Some people, I don't know, like, the chatter is that the people who got them early did so through maybe less than legal means, the source of that was less than legal means.
That's fair. There are some pretty nice cards in that set, though.
There are. I'm looking forward to not being able to get my hands on any of them.
The gold cards are really cool. There's a Pikachu. They've seen a Pikachu and a Charizard one. But yeah, there's a lot of really cool cards in that set. So I'm definitely very excited to see what comes from that. I was gonna say, like, it felt like Battle Styles felt like a bit of a low point in the most recent kind of releases that we've got. But ever since then, we've started to kind of truck back up as far as, you know, interesting, cool cards and all that stuff goes. But we need to take a break. We've got to pay for the show. When we get back, we are going to talk about some more Diamond and Pearl news. Get ready. Okie dokie.
Wow, that was a long minute.
It was a very minute. Long, such very a long
ad
minute.
Break, y'all.
We got a bunch of Pokemon Diamond and Pearl news, and we didn't really get a chance to talk about it, but now we're going to talk about it here, where we get Poketch is returning.
Yes. So,
which is pretty cool.
It is cool, and it comes with a big upgrade. So, you know, Gen 4... So, you know, they kind of like unofficially did away with like hidden. Well, they didn't unofficially. They straight up got rid of hidden machines. Yep. And was it Sun and Moon, I think? Right? Was it Sun and Moon?
Yeah. Yes.
So anyways, they got rid of it. And, you know, the big question was, OK, well, we're going back to a time where hidden, the hidden moves were, you know, necessary. To get through the game, you'd have to totally change the maps if you got rid of hidden moves. How do you get around it? And the answer is there's a new Poketch app or Poketch app.
Whatever.
It allows you to call wild Pokemon to your aid who will then go and do things. No more will you need a Bidoof.
Saddle a Bidoof with all your HMs sitting in that party. Like all right, cut down the tree, man. Let's go.
Although I did see that Bibarel is one of the wild Pokemon that you can like use, like as a nice little callback. Like we know what this Pokemon is for.
That's pretty funny.
So that was like the big announcement. They're bringing back Poffins with an additional Poffin location. It used to be you could only get Poffins at one place. Now you can get them at two. So that was big news. Amity Square is returning, and you'll be able to walk around six Pokemon at Amity Square, which I can't remember if that was a thing. Give me a second, because it's been so long since I played these stupid games. Amity Square. Amity Square, in the original games, there was only a limited number of Pokemon that were permitted. So, there was like basically the starter Pokemon, Psyduck, Drifloon, Banary, Happiny, Clefairy, Pikachu. You know, like there's like maybe 20 Pokemon or so that were allowed to walk around with you. And I think that's changing. So now your Pokemon, can
walk. Yeah, anyone you want.
Yeah. So I think that's. You know, they changed that up and they made that a little bit more fun. I do think it loses a little bit of its charm, though, because if players can have their Pokemon follow you throughout the game once you reach a certain point. So,
right. So are we getting a little bit more excited for this?
I don't know.
Megan, are you excited or what?
I'm just watching Hot for Space, and it's such a tragedy that we can't show that to you in real time this week. But I mean, I'm pretty excited. It has been a long time since I've played Diamond and Pearl. They were never one of my favorite games. I will fully admit that. I think some of the changes they're making are cute, especially to like contests and everything like that. So, I mean, I've had a whole, rant about that in a previous episode, if you want to go back a couple and listen to it. I think that is going to be interesting for people who particularly like to kind of do contests first and then approach, you know, the traditional storyline route of challenging trainers and everything. I think that the additions made to the game are more than what we expected, which is a nice surprise. Of course, we're still going to have the debate within the fandom of, is this worth the price tag that they're going to put on the game for selling it? That is always going to happen. It's even going to happen with Legends, which is, you know, going to be a whole conversation in a couple months for us. I am excited. I do have the game pre-ordered. I will be playing Diamond. So I'm, I don't have it pre-ordered. My husband has it. Well, fiance has it pre-ordered, so he'll be getting that. But yeah, I'm interested to see when it comes though to like games I'm most excited for on the Switch though right now, it's Metroid Dread. So like I'm gonna kind of be consumed by that game for a while. So I'll be interested to see how my level is up because I have Metroid Dread pre-ordered for myself. So that was where my priorities laid. So it'll be interesting to see how I feel next month when, you know, we get closer to the release.
Yeah, I'm going to play Metroid Dread as it was intended to be played on the new Nintendo Switch OLED. I'm getting one of those here this weekend. So
yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm also with that. I'm interested to
see
I'll be interested to see the difference of how these games look in full on, you know, the regular Switch Lite versus the Switch OLED, because from what we have seen of the OLED, that thing looks crisp. Yeah. So I definitely want to invest in one of those before Legends comes out. But, you know, I'll be curious to see the difference with Diamond and Pearl. But I'll be playing Metroid Dread on my very old Switch.
Yeah, nice. No, I think this is becoming a less and less controversial opinion as we get closer to these games, because people wanted the Sinnoh remakes for so long. The original Sinnoh games, I like the Sinnoh region, nothing wrong with the Sinnoh region. The Diamond and Pearl, they were okay Pokemon games. They weren't great Pokemon games. Mm-hmm. Like they were fine. I think that my big question is because I remember when I eventually played through Diamond. I think I played through Platinum. When I played through Platinum, it was a freaking slog. Like it really was a slog. There were,
yeah.
And not like in the like sore slog, like, you know, like you can talk about like, oh, the Pokemon games are too easy. It wasn't even like, oh, this is hard. It was just grindy as heck. And like the not in the good, like classic way. And so the thing I'm really curious about is if they've streamlined that at all. And they probably have. I'm sure you're going to end up with like an XP share, like right out of the gate. Like here is this mandatory thing that you have to have. So you don't spend 60 hours trying to get to like the fifth gym. But, you know, I think that there are a couple of little things that, you know, they're trying to do, which seems to indicate that they're trying to streamline these games a bit and trying to like retroactively fix some of the flaws of the original games and make them probably better than what they were. So we'll see how well that works out.
Mm-hmm.
I do question if a game that has literally access to only half the Pokemon, and not even in the we're saving some up for DLC and select sort of things like what they did with, you know, Sword and Shield, but like, do I want to pay $60 for a game that I have played before? And that I don't know. Like I really enjoyed when the Link's Awakening, right, that was the last like super, like where they remade the game, and it was like you know, like aesthetically, this is different. And, you know, gameplay, basically the same. And so I don't know. Like, I like the Zelda game. I'll be curious to see if I like the Pokemon game as much. Yeah. Also, it doesn't help that they've got a better Pokemon game coming out in 2 months.
Which we can talk about now. Oh, no, go ahead, Megan.
Well, I was just saying, that's the other thing that's really killing it. Is there going to be, you know, not an insignificant number of fans, you know, whether it be parents buying for their kids or, you know, people, you know, my age, like for my instance, like I have a wedding coming up this month that, you know, I'm getting married. I have a honeymoon to pay for. So like I'm conserving my budget right now to make sure like I can pay for what I need to pay. And in that, I don't know where Pokemon, you know, fits in. Like ordinarily my fiance would be getting one game. I would be getting the other, but you know, I haven't put any money down on anything other than Metroid Dread, which because like, I can't not do that. But like normally I would be able to do both. I don't know if I can do that, especially in light knowing that I'm going to want to be paying for Legends in a couple of months.
For parents, it's a huge thing, right? Like which game do they get? Like
Especially like, if they don't know the difference. They just know there's two Pokemon games coming out. Their kid really wants both. So if you need, information, please hit us up or listen to our podcast. We'll give all the information. But if not, like the close release dates, I have always felt a little uncomfortable about. I understand why Pokemon is doing it because they have numbers they need to meet for the end of the year. There are budgets, there are profits, there are whole timelines going on, but it's going to force some fans to make a choice. And I'm curious how that choice will skew, because if it came down to me, I'm getting Legends because I still can play Pearl, Diamond, or Platinum on my handheld.
Go ahead, Jim.
I was saying, like that's the biggest thing of it all, too, right? Like, at the end of the day, this game is a remake. And it really, I think, only appeals to, you know, a certain sect of, you know, that will hit the nostalgia vibes, right? Where Legends, like, we're getting a legitimately new game. Yes, it's, you know, yes, it's taking place in a setting that we've been before, but that setting is entirely different just by the gameplay alone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for my money, you know, for anyone who's on the fence, like Legends to me is the one to do, because not only is it a brand new game experience, but we're getting new Pokemon too, right? Like there's new types of Pokemon being added to this game.
Yeah. And I think that the one thing that both of these games have going for it, like I think about comparing this franchise to some of the other franchises that are out there. Like, can you imagine if we had like two Call of Duty games coming out within like 2 months of each other? It would be a disaster. It would be a disaster in part because
I think we kind of did, right? Like, didn't Cold War is coming out at the same for in a very similar time frame to Vanguard? Like, isn't Vanguard almost out? I don't know. It may be more like 6 months in between those games.
This is the part of the conversation I tune out on because I have never even looked at a Call of Duty.
But yes, your point still stands. Yeah. If they release like two football games in the same quarter.
Yeah. Right?
Like,
if we got Madden 2021 and Madden 2022 in the same like cycle, it would be a disaster. People would be super mad. This is a little bit different. Like, while it definitely like the timing is weird. Both these games, like, sure, like Diamond and Pearl have like an online, like a very minor online component, but they're pretty both of these are going to be pretty timeless games. Like, that's the big thing, is it's like, you know, there's no competitive cycle that you need to get behind. There's nothing like that. These are pure games. I just went and started replaying Breath of the Wild, you know, this weekend. And, you know, that game came out, what, 6 years ago? Five, six years ago? And it's still just as great as it was 5 years ago. That's the thing. It's like, the one thing that Nintendo games have going for them compared to other games is those games are built to, with, you know, they're meant to be timeless. They do not have the issues of PlayStation or, you know, Xbox games. And, you know, some PlayStation and Xbox games have that timelessness too, but you know, most of those games are not nearly, they don't have the franchise angle that Pokemon has. Pokemon has come out with a game almost every single year since, what, 2014? I think we've skipped like one, maybe 2 years. And like, you know, that puts it up on like a, that puts it on scale with a franchise like Call of Duty, the sports games. The games are supposed to have these annual releases. And like the thing is, you buy into the cycle, you know, right. you're always going to pick up the new one as soon as it comes out, because the clock is ticking. Like, you know, because once that game's like 6 months old, people aren't going to be buying it because they're just waiting for the next one. You don't have those problems with the new Pokemon games. And that's, I think, what's going to save these games is they're going to have long shelf lives. So for people who are like, I don't know which game to buy, buy the game that you want more. And when you can afford the other one, go and pick that up. They're both going to be good. You know, they're both going to be Pokemon games. Like, mm-hmm. buy whichever one you're looking forward to the most. And the other game will be waiting for you a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road. I mean, they're still selling Sword and Shield, and it's still full price. You know, the only thing the only thing that you have to worry about with it comes to these games is Nintendo going to release, you know, whatever's they're making after the Switch. That's the only thing you got to worry about in terms of the cycle. Like, these games are still going to be available. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's talk about
the new Pokemon.
Yeah, like I've done enough ranting about the video game cycle. Yeah, we've got a new freaking Pokemon. And it's like Jim's other favorite Pokemon, you know.
That's right.
That is true.
It's
very gym centric.
Yes.
Look, I think honestly, these new variations, and you know, the one we'll talk about in a second in particular, like it, you know, we obviously got them introduced in Sun and Moon, and you know, taken to a fun level with Sword and Shield. And I love that this is kind of becoming the norm, basically. That,
yeah.
You know, based mm-hmm. off where and when and all of that, like, we're getting regional variants, basically, which just makes it more fun. So, Christian, why don't you walk us through what Alpha and Noble Pokemon are?
So this game seems to be going back to a variation of what we saw in Pokemon Sun and Moon. They did not have gyms in Pokemon Sun and Moon. Instead, they had totem Pokemon and they had kahunas. In this game, we have noble Pokemon, which are Pokemon imbued with a mysterious power that certainly does not come from the god of Pokemon. You know, it's, you know, these Pokemon are definitely not glowing with the holy energy of Arceus. They are tended to by wardens, you know, and these wardens all are the ancestors of the various gym leaders of the Sinnoh region. So you can kind of see where this is going. So we have noble Pokemon, which are basically going to be your totem Pokemon. And for reasons unclear, you know, they've begun to go berserk and you must calm them down. When they revealed the noble Pokemon, the first noble Pokemon that they showed off was not like a normal Pokemon. It was a brand new Pokemon. It was Cleaver, a bug rock regional variation evolution of Scyther. So instead of, you know, I don't know, maybe metal coats didn't you know, weren't invented back then. Mm-hmm. So instead, special minerals in the Hisui region cause Scyther to grow big freaking stone axes that it then tries to decapitate you with.
It looks so cool.
Looks like D&D Lord of the Rings creation. When that boy came on screen with the latest trailer, I like audibly like heart eyes. Like, I was in love with this little monster. I'm so excited.
It took me like a half, like, and the funny thing about it was, I think my favorite part about it, this trailer. So they released like a 2-minute trailer last week. And they didn't say that, you know, Cleaver was an evolution of Scyther mm-hmm. in the trailer. They're just like, yeah, mm-hmm. here's this big old rock axe Pokemon coming to murder you. And like, you actually see it. It's like running around. It's got these giant, like, you know, 500-pound axes, and it's swinging them at your, you know, at your player, like, character.
It's like Pokemon Silent Hill is what it's like.
Yeah.
I was like looking at it, and like, the great thing is it's got like the sideburns. It's got like this like rocky sideburn and beard and top knot. So it like looks like it's got like the samurai aesthetic down too, which just like cracks me up. Like, this is going to be the most Japanese Pokemon game like we have seen in a while.
So ready. I'm ready. When they announce like the Pokemon Onsen, like spa baths, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be ready. So I'm so excited.
I was cracking up because I realized that the Sinnoh region was the last time that we went to Japan in a Pokemon game. You know, because after that, we went to New York, and then we went to France, and then we went to Hawaii, and then we went to Britain. And then it was like, okay, kids, we've done the international tour. Now get ready. Like, we're talking full kimonos. We've got traditional masks. They showed off like a crow gunk mask, like that you would like. And I was just like dying. It was like, you know, the sort of shit that you see on Demon Slayer. My bad. We'll edit that out in post, but just like, oh my God, I was just like dying the entire time. It's like,
I also, the best thing is given how ungodly popular Demon Slayer is in Japan. I mean, even the new president is like the biggest fan of Demon Slayer in Japan. You know, there are going to be Demon Slayer losers in there. Side rant for anime, but like, come on.
I do wonder if like this game's like origins were like, you know, like the people at Game Freak were saying, runs like, what should we make as our next Pokemon? It's like someone runs in, it's like, we need to make Demon Slayer, only make it with Pokemon. It's like, okay, feudal Japan, here we come. Like,
yeah, absolutely, like
real time.
Absolutely would not be surprised. So anyways, yeah. Side tangent.
So yeah, so we've got this big freaking cleaver and they're big too. Like that's what, yep. Like that is what I'm curious about, because you throw the, and like, it doesn't look like you can capture the noble Pokemon. Although you are shown, like you have to like create bulbs using ingredients. So there's going to be like some like Breath of the Wild stuff going on where you have to like pick up wild ingredients, mix the bomb, and then like wildly chuck it as this thing's like rampaging around with its big freaking axes at you. Oh man, I love it. The other thing are, we also have alpha Pokemon. Now, alpha Pokemon, as their name suggests, are the apex predators of Pokemon. They are denoted because they have glowing red eyes and they are more aggressive and they will try to kill you. Now, the interesting thing about this, not only are you going to get like all the Pokemon that are like chasing you around the wilderness, like trying to like murder you, are apparently the alpha Pokemon. But the interesting thing is, these might be like a new like variation, kind of like how we have shiny Pokemon, stuff like that. Because you can see in some of the screenshots, you can actually see a grayed out like alpha symbol next to some of them, which suggests that maybe the alpha Pokemon, there's something that triggers the alpha Pokemon state. Or maybe this is a new like variation of it. Like, yeah, like if you survive your encounter with like, you know, an Electivire or what have you, you know, here's your reward. So, yeah. You know, those were the big news. We got a couple of like character appearances. But, you know, the big thing was they just very subtly, they're like, oh, by the way, here's Cleaver. And everyone's like, oh yeah, here is Cleaver. Oh yeah. I'm so looking forward to this game. Like every single new Pokemon they have like shown off so far, like everybody has been like, yeah, give me weird deer. Like, yep. You know, like
give me everyone, that whatever they did to Basculin, man.
Yeah. Give me the legions of the damned fish Pokemon. Like this is like a hardcore game. It's like, look at the Pokemon we've gotten so far.
This is kind of like hardcore goth feudal Japan Pokemon open world. And it's like my aesthetic to a T. Yeah. So I'm very ready.
It's like, you know, here is a semi-legendary mythical Pokemon. It's like, just wait until they like show off like Hisuian Arcanine. You know, like
Oh my gosh. It's gonna be like crazy that people who start when this game is out start making like horror game jump scare edits of like them being in the wild and just like cleavers like coming at them, like coming at their neck. Like, I'm so ready. So ready. Ugh.
I know we won't get this, and this is 100% due to the fact that I literally started playing Breath of the Wild again 24 hours ago. But it would be really freaking great. So you're just walking through the woods, mind your own business, and suddenly you like see a tree crash kind of in front of you, and you're like looking around, like, what what's going on? Another tree crash. And then you see Cleaver and he's just like swinging away with his big axe arms, knocking down trees and stuff like that. It's like, oh, this is happening. We're about to die.
That's like, legitimately, you know, something you would expect out of a Resident Evil game.
Oh, yep. I know.
Absolutely.
Like,
please give us interactable terrain, please. Just so that Cleaver can come and kill us better. Also, this entire conversation has made it a little bit more hilarious. One, in my D&D campaign, one of my players had a character named Cleaver who was this like halfling cook who liked to eat meat. And like, actually, she was like doing her parole basically as part of the campaign because she ate a deer that she wasn't supposed to eat. And so her entire character was based upon like wanting to like cook up monsters. It was like a Delicious in Dungeon theme. So like, you know, Cleaver has like, it was like a running gag at that point. And so now it's like, now we've got like Killer Cleaver in the Pokemon franchise. Like, I just can't escape it.
It's all coming together for you is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
All right, Christian, give us our Pokemon fact of the week.
All right. Well, we're to the lamest Pokemon, I think, that we've done so far. Like,
You said that like 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry. It's not a very good Pokemon. There's just nothing great about Sunkern and Sunflora. They are very boring Pokemon. That's just all there is to it. They don't move much. It's literally in the Pokedex.
But Sunkern is pretty, like, Sunkern is a pretty cute Pokemon, though.
No, it's not.
Oh, I think so. I think it's adorable.
How? Really?
If you like plants, I guess, like, if you wish you were a plant parent they're pretty cute.
I've got, like, I guess it's got, like, the big eyes. Like, it's fine. It's not great. Anyway,
it's got, like, Sunkern, the chibi thing going for it.
Sunkern's big thing is it literally does not move. It's not supposed to. It's trying to conserve its nutrients so they can evolve, which is weird because it requires a sunstone to evolve. So I don't really understand how that exactly works. It also can subsist on morning dew. It's just, I don't know.
Low maintenance. It's like a succulent. It's really hard to kill.
It also,
unless you're in battle, in which case, you know.
It is also legitimately like the weakest of all the grass type Pokemon. It has the lowest base HP. It's tied for lowest defense. It's tied for lowest special defense. And it's tied for all first stage Pokemon, like literally all of them, including like baby Pokemon. It is tied for lowest base stat total. It's just, it is literally, you're spitting a sunflower seed at
It is just a happy flower. That's just all it is.
Yeah, and that's okay. Like, I'm fine with that. Let me use these buddies in contests or something. I'm fine if they're not meant to fight. Like, what damage, unless you're like deathly allergic to flowers or they're like, you know, anything like that. If I threw a sunflower at you, I don't think it's going to do anything unless you have horrific allergies.
I do like Sunflora's aesthetic. I just wish that like Sunflora had something interesting going on for it. It's just like, it's just a happy sunflower. It's like, oh, okay. Well, thanks.
So when we get the regional variant one day of Sunflora that's like emo and like gets dead and shriveling up,
I'm gonna be very ready. It's gonna be a dark grass Pokemon. And it's going to be like moon flora or something like that. And it's going to like have like a crescent face with like it's going to be like the evil moon from Soul Eater.
Yes. Or let's take it a step further. It's like basically the representation of the moon that's coming for you in like Majora's Mask.
There it is.
Just that's terrifying.
If that was what was happening,
I would be scared. So
One of these days, like, you know, like, we know that Junji Ito is a Pokemon fan because he literally did Pokemon, like, artwork, you know, illustrations.
That still haunts me to this day.
You know, wouldn't it just be great if Game Freak, like, called him in to consult? It's like, you know, we've got this, like, creepy vibe that people just really don't talk about, except for this one podcast over in America. Let's go and make a game about that. What do you got for us, Junji Ito?
Can you design,
like, a half dozen Pokemon species just to really creep us out? It's like, you know, like, oh, and also they're all going to be regional variants and like give them like the six happiest Pokemon like available.
Horrifying. Horrifying. I would be into it, but horrifying.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got a review that I wanted to read. I thought this was a fun one. If you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, we'll read it out on the air. And like, we got this one from Ultra Pokechef. A legendary podcast has appeared. I've been a Pokemon fan for a while, but fell out of the ring a few years ago. This podcast has ignited my passion for playing the video games and collecting the cards again. This show is an 11 out of 10 on my scale. I listen to it on my way to and from work. I wish I could watch it live. I can't wait till you cover Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Megan, I know you'll win all the contests. And I also can't wait for you guys to cover Pokemon Legends. It's truly the best time to be a Pokemon fan. I'm glad I get to be a part of it with you in the amazing community. Look forward to listening to many more episodes to come. Keep on catching. Love that.
My first win is dedicated to them. That's it. You.
To Ultra Pokechef.
Just for you.
Love it. Well, there we go. That's all. So we had a nice, fun show today. Sorry we couldn't do it live for those who were waiting for us to go live, but we'll be back again next week, hopefully, once StreamYard gets its act together. But in the meantime, feel free to follow the show on Twitter at PokemonPodCB. Otherwise, you can follow me at Jim Viscardi, Megan at MeganPetersCB, and Christian at CHofferCBus. On Twitter. So it was good to be back. I missed you guys last week, but you guys put on a great show. So thank you for carrying along. Otherwise, until next time, folks, we'll catch you next week.